Let me ask you this.
What in the wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central.
Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go.
This is Sports Central.
Go.
On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome in. This is Sports Central. Happy Valentine's Day, Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. And I am jacked to be doing the show today with the White Sox joining WGN. Those of you that have heard me, whether it's this station or other stations over the years, I have never hid my love for the White Sox. You know, I went to journalism school. I've been covering a lot of teams in this town. Most recently, the Bears for 7 years. I think I do it objectively and put fandom aside. But the one team I've never really hit in and tried to fake it is with the White Sox, because I think it would be fake. I love this team. I've been a fan since I was, you know, basically born. I think my first White Sox game was, I was 8 days old. And that's a true story. And I'm just so excited today that they are joining WGN Radio. I think this is going to be a great partnership. And my message to White Sox fans as we start Sports Central today is just, this is going to be, the White Sox are in good hands here at WGN. We know how to do baseball on this station. We know how to do sports on this station. We have great partnerships with the Blackhawks and Northwestern. And I love those relationships that we have, and I'm just so excited that we're now going to have that with my favorite team in my entire life. And, you know, 2005 will always be a year that sticks with me forever, and I feel very confident that while the White Sox are on this station, it's going to happen again, that this team's going to win a World Series on WGN with the plan right now, with Rick Hahn leading it, and I'm just, as you can probably tell, so excited to be on the air today as we get right to our lead here on Sports Central.
Brooks Boyer, yeah. White Sox Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing, says it's a fantastic win for White Sox fans. We are thrilled to team up with an iconic media organization in Chicago, delivering the hustle and passion of White Sox games to WGN radio listeners throughout the city and the Midwest. Brooks, did I quote you accurately there?
You quoted me. I couldn't have said it better myself. And we are so excited to be part of the WGN family and to be able to deliver our fans these games across your great airwaves.
That was Brooks Boyer this morning on the Steve Cochran Show. The official announcement here on WGN that the White Sox and WGN have agreed on a multi-year deal. And we, you know what? This station's always going to be, we can't pretend like for 90 years the Cubs weren't on the station, but they're not anymore, and the White Sox are. And we, like I said, we know how to do baseball, and this is going to be great, and it's going to be a winning team. We're excited. And we have a lot of White Sox fans around here at this station, a lot of them. Wendy Snyder, who you just heard, Bill and Wendy, coming up right here before Sports Central, is one of those. Joe Romano, behind the glass here, my producer. And then, of course, is Mark Carman, who's not a White Sox fan. But the biggest reason why Mark Carman needs to be on this show today. Hey, Mark. Hang on here, buddy.
Rude.
Hey, buddy.
Flat out inconsiderate.
What?
Hi, buddy.
Flat out inconsiderate.
Adam, you know the first job I ever had in sports was 1992 at the then almost brand new Comiskey Park, second year that they had the, at that time, incredibly high and steep upper deck, and I scaled those stairs to sell Dove bars to starving White Sox fans who desperately needed ice cream. The commitment that I had to Sox fans is second to none, sir.
Well, we'll see how committed you are, because Wendy Snyder just brought up a good point right before we started our show, that I believe you are directly quoted and recorded on this very show last week as saying that you will burn all of your Cubs gear. If
very, very much happy to do it. I didn't throw in a couple contingencies on that, but
what were those?
There are scenarios, depending on my involvement with the ball club, that I'd be willing to go to that level for sure.
Oh, okay, I see.
I mean, I would love to have a very large role radio-wise with the team supporting them as best as I possibly can. It's the amazing product in the World Series that are coming on the South Side. And, indeed, I would be willing to burn some stuff. I'm happy to do it.
I mean, this sounds like this kind of sounds like you're announcing your candidacy for presidency or something right now.
So to speak, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a tremendous day for the radio station, and to the true diehard to have been there from the beginning, like you, Adam Hoge, I salute you. And you know, I was again selling beer when Paul Konerko at the Grand Slam in Game 2 of the 2005 World Series, and the whole place shook like a building that I've never heard in all of Chicago, outside of maybe some Bulls games at the old Chicago Stadium.
Greatest moment in Chicago history.
It was like 32 degrees out. It was freezing rain. It was pure misery, and everybody there was having the greatest time in the history of sports. It was incredible.
You know what I remember so vividly about that game, other than Will Perdue randomly sitting right behind me and high-fiving me after the Konerko home run? Was that it was a cold, rainy, miserable night, and not a single second of that game did I feel cold. Because just the adrenaline and the excitement, people were on their feet like the entire game. I barely remember sitting. And just an unbelievable atmosphere.
It did impact beer sales, if I recall correctly. But in those playoffs, I remember I would work in the left field bleachers, and I was doing 24, 25 cases a game, which is a lot of money for a vendor, or really for anybody for that matter.
Wow.
It was outstanding, which...
I probably contributed to one of those cases.
You I think you did. Yeah. And well, I saw you. You know, we did have a reuniting moment. 2008 Black Sox game, Minnesota Twins 1-0 win, incredible catch, Brian Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hell of a night at now Guaranteed Rate Field as well.
Carm, you've been a part of WGN for a long time. You know, one of my first gigs here as your intern, which is still a scary thing to think about, but some of that involved producing Cubs post game and being a part of the, you know, the Cubs being here on this station. I was just sharing because I know we got a lot of White Sox fans listening here today. They're wondering, you know, how is this going to work? It's in some ways the White Sox being on WGN is a little weird, but we know baseball here at WGN. We know how to do this, and I just think it's going to be a tremendous partnership.
Yep. I know, at least from what I've understood, the White Sox obviously are thrilled to be here. We're thrilled to have them. You know, and yes, I have been around the station for a long time, starting back in, I want to say, 2007, producing Caps show, which was then Sports Central, which now you have Sports Central. I mean, think about that. That's 11 years right there.
Yeah.
And the Cubs were synonymous with WGN, but you know, times change, and I know without a doubt we're going to be an incredible partner for the White Sox, and I think it's just a phenomenal time to be getting them, because I who doesn't believe in the White Sox plan right now? So I think a lot of fun's going to be happen here, and also, you know, like any radio station. You know, there's been a ton of White Sox fans at WGN for many, 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 many years. Who I guess Steve Bertrand put out on Facebook today. I saw he's like, he's been waiting for this since 1943. So this is, you know, it's just I just think it's a great day for the radio station. Always great to have more sports from, you know, on the air, and the White Sox right now. I mean, you just got to love their position.
Well, I have a confession. Okay, when you hired me as an intern 10 years ago, and Dave Ennett too.
You lied.
I had this big grand scheme to get the White Sox on WGN, and you guys didn't know this. But
okay.
I planted the seed. You know, I was here. I did some Cubs posts. Was involved. Then I went to the Score, and it took a while. But I managed to get the Cubs on that station to open up the opportunity for me to go back to WGN. Which I've now been here almost 4 years again. And again, it took a little time, but have successfully pulled off the coup that has been a decade in the making. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
I'm going to be honest here, Adam. I do think with those credentials, you should run for office. And I know we got Pritzker out there, and we got Rauner, and we've got Trump, and we've got 2018, and we got 2020. But what you just threw out there, no one would have ever thought possible. And, you know, Barack Obama once had a vision of what would be. You, I think, are on a whole other planet, and the proof is in the pudding. So this really opens up a gazillion doors for you, and I want you to look at that closely.
Well, of course, everything I just said is not true, but you do know my love for this team is so great that it possibly, you know, you could actually be like, well, maybe there is some truth to that.
Yeah, and I mean, I just bought in hook, line, and sinker, and I don't even remember you just saying that wasn't true, that, of course, all was true, and you are that powerful. And listen, the White Sox are on WGN. This happened. Nobody saw that coming as of 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, really, they were in a long-term deal with WLS along with the Bulls, and all of a sudden, things changed, and bam. I mean, really, I mean, who ever thought that was going to happen? So it's things change in life real quick, right?
They do. Carm, thanks for jumping on. And we will have a ceremony here on Sports Central in the near future where you burn all of your Cubs gear, which I usually don't promote that. I think it's a weird thing to do. But in your specific case and you saying that, it's an obligation to hold you to it.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
Dun, 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 dun. All right.
See you later.
See you, buddy. Mark Carmen here on Sports Central. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to do something pretty cool. We're going to hook up with the John Williams Show downstairs, who's live on WGN as we stream on WGNRadio.com, and we're going to do some White Sox trivia with the John Williams Show, and... You know, I think we're going to connect some wires here and actually make this thing happen. So stick around. We'll be right back on Sports Central.
Yeah, welcome to WGN.
Chicago's Sports Conversation. This is Sports Central with Adam Hogue.
Here on Sports Central on WGNRadio.com. And in a few moments here, as we announce the White Sox joining WGN, it's an exciting day here. We are going to hook up with the John Williams Show downstairs and do some White Sox trivia. Because John's been on this thing where he, you know, John's been here a long time. It was part of the Cubs days. And he's actively trying to learn as much as possible about the White Sox. So we're going to try to help him. So we'll figure that out here in a couple minutes with him. But Joe, you're a big Sox fan too.
I sure am.
How are you feeling about all this today? And also, by the way, congratulations to Joe Romano, officially named producer of the Steve Cochran Show.
Much appreciated.
So we're probably going to lose you, for being honest.
Oh, geez.
See, I feel like, you know, the sports department, we're kind of like Central Michigan. You know, Sports Central Michigan.
Are you calling me JJ Watt?
We bring up the talent, and then they, you know, they transfer or they get hired by Notre Dame or something.
I would say I'm somewhere between Dan Bazine and JJ Watt.
Okay, somewhere in that enormous range.
Yeah,
you're actually better at football than Dan Bazine.
Second round pick. I could not be more excited. You know, like you, I interned here and have a job here now, and have been a diehard Sox fan my entire life. So this is, I'm speechless. It's so cool that I work at the place that the White Sox are playing. So cool.
You know, I had the opportunity and the great privilege of working with the White Sox when I was up the dial, technically down the dial. And a lot of fun times, a lot of good times at the ballpark. And one of the things that's been going on around the hallways here at WGN that I keep hearing today is how great the food is. Everyone's excited about the food at the cell. And that is something that they have dramatically upgraded over the last probably 5, 6, 7 years. The food and the beer. Like, you can get almost any beer there now.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
downstairs, we're matching up two live show at the same time. So pretty cool to do this, but I'm pretty confident that it's going to work here as we try to do Sox trivia with John Williams.
Sox fans who've been suffering through this radio station for years, and we were the station for the Cubs. And again, we are not saying goodbye to Cubs fans. The Cubs aren't on the station anymore. The Sox are. So we've got to at least bring our White Sox knowledge up to something approaching Cubs level.
Go White Sox! Chicago's proud of you.
So we're going to do a couple of things here. First, Mike Poe is on our staff at WGN Radio. Mike is a White Sox fan.
Yes.
What is your title here at the station?
I'm an executive producer of our video department.
All those fancy videos you see on our website, that's from him. Adam Hoag does Sports Central on WGNRadio.com. In fact, he's on right now. Hey, Adam, are you listening to us?
I am, John. I'm right here.
Oh, you sound great. How are you?
You sound great.
So you're just down the hall. You are always at this time on the stream. You can hear Adam at WGNRadio.com. Best way to find you is that, Adam?
That's right. On Twitter, at Adam Hoag. And we got the links to how to listen and the WGN Radio app, of course.
Okay. So now you and I are both on those two places, the radio and the stream.
Mm-hmm.
And you are talking sports, probably talking about this White Sox deal, right?
Well, that's why this makes sense. We're talking all about the White Sox, and it's great to get together here to do this.
All right. So you chime in all you want, Adam. But Mike has put together a White Sox quiz that'll be more of a challenge for me, I suppose, than you. Go.
All right. We'll start easy. What's the name of the White Sox mascot?
I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I saw this one. Southpaw. Southpaw.
Correct. You are correct.
Do you get partial credit for Andy the Clown?
No. Who's Andy the Clown?
Andy was a fixture at Comiskey Park.
No kidding. Okay. No, you do not, Steve. So 1 point for me, 0 for Steve. Adam, did you know the answer to that one?
I did.
Chime in here, Adam. You're the host.
I wanted to give you the opportunity to answer.
All right, give me another one.
All right. Name the White Sox pitching coach.
Ha, ha, ha.
It's an important thing. You have to know this.
Adam, what's the name of the White Sox pitching coach?
Don Cooper.
And why do I care about Don Cooper? Who is he to me, Adam?
He has been there forever, despite multiple managers coming in and out. Don Cooper, they love him. He does wonders with the pitchers, and he's still there.
Okay, good to know. Don Cooper. Give me another one. That was an easy one.
If you're a Sox fan, that's an easy one.
You can tell that I'm learning.
All right, name a manager who has managed both the Cubs and the White Sox.
Not a chance. Could not even
come
close.
Think. No, who's there now?
Robin Ventura.
Right now.
Manny Ramirez. Ricky Ricardo.
Ricky Renteria.
Ricky Renteria. Rick Renteria.
We got some explaining to do.
This is good that we're doing this.
Yeah, Rick Renteria, current manager of the White Sox, was the manager of the Cubs before they brought in Madden.
I didn't even know that.
Can I give John one he'll get?
Okay.
The White Sox play on the blank side.
Adam, tell me something about the manager I should know.
He was there with the Cubs when they were trying to develop a bunch of these prospects. And then they, of course, made the switch to Joe Madden when they were all ready to win. Well, the White Sox have him for the same exact reason, but they also believe that he's going to be the guy that's there when they're ready to win. Really happy with what Rick Renteria has been doing with these young kids.
Next question.
All right. Which former White Sox player is being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year?
Ron Santo. No. Well, Ron Santo will be the answer to a trivia question, though, down the road, I think.
He's on another one of your lists that you had today, John.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the question again? Jim Thome.
Actually, Jim Thome is going to be at the ballpark tomorrow talking about his Hall of Fame induction, and I will be there.
He is, for those of us who grew up in or spent a lot of time in central Illinois, he is our all-time favorite baseball player. Joe Girardi's on that list, too, but put Thome up maybe at the top. Okay, go again.
All right, we're going to bring the difficulty up a little bit here. Name three players who have played for both the White Sox and the Cubs since 2000.
Ron Santo didn't play since 2000.
Since 2000. I'll give you a hint. There's 27 of them.
Okay. You only want three who have played for both teams since 2000. I'll let you take this one, Adam. I'm kind of busy right now.
Okay. I'll try to reach back a little bit more to make this a little bit more difficult, but Chris Singleton would be one.
Oh, wow. You're showing off here.
Since 2000?
Yeah. Or is that too far?
I think that's a little too far.
Or am I thinking of Darren Jackson?
Darren Jackson on the list?
Darren Jackson's too far, too.
Okay. All right. I'm going too far. All right. Kosuke Fukudome is one of them.
Got it.
Juan Pierre is one of them.
Nice.
and
Sammy Sosa too far?
That would be too far.
Too far. But I think you get points for the Sammy Sosas and the Ron Santos of the world. Jason Beret, Berley, Beer, B-E-R-E, who's that?
That, I'm actually not even sure that is just on the list.
I'm trying to avoid the easiest one, which was, of course, the trade last summer for Jose Quintana.
Jose Quintana would be one. All right, give me another one. Ready? Go.
Another question?
Yes.
All right, name one White Sox pitcher who's thrown a perfect game.
Adam, I'll let you have that one.
I'll name the harder one so you can get the easier one. The harder one is Phillip Umber.
Umber, and I'll go with him.
Mike, do you mean at the major league level?
No, Pony League, Steve.
I should have been more specific. I'm sorry.
I'll bet every member of most Major League Baseball teams has thrown a perfect game, a no-hitter, or at least a shutout while in Little League or high school. Maybe even college, right? They were always the best player in their town. Was Mark Burley one of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And is there three on that list?
There is a third. Charlie Robertson, but that was way back in 1922.
All right, let me throw a question at you guys. Five members of baseball's... This is from my friend David McCallie. David McCallie has a wonderful son who also works part-time for the White Sox, and the McCallies are White Sox fans. They're good friends of mine, and here again, they're another one of those people that roll their eyes at me on WGN Radio because I've never sufficiently known or appreciated the South Side. Didn't dislike them, just wasn't there for them. So I sent David a note today, and I said, okay, White Sox guy, give me some White Sox trivia questions. He said, five members of baseball's 500 home run club have worn a White Sox uniform. Mm-hmm. Five members of baseball's 500 home run club have worn a White Sox uniform. Okay, Hoag, let's see what you got.
Frank Thomas.
One.
Jim Thome.
Two.
Sammy Sosa.
Three.
Go.
You can play.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Four.
Last one's same thought process, Adam.
Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
Who has hit one while playing for the White Sox. So there's your five.
Yeah, that wasn't a very memorable era.
How about this? Both the Cubs and the White Sox have won the World Series three times. Give me the 3 years the Cubs won it. 07, 08, and 16. Mm-hmm. Give me the 3 years the White Sox have won it.
17, got 2005, it. And then yes. The original one was 1900. It was 06 when they beat the Cubs.
Very nice.
I should know that. I wrote an entire historical journalism, like 9-page thing on that in college, back in college, was on the coverage of that World Series in 1906.
How about this one? Who hit the first homer over the roof at Comiskey Park in August of 1927? August 1927, first player to hit one out of the park at Comiskey was? I wouldn't ask it if it wasn't a famous home run hitter in the late 1920s.
Huh. Favorite.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Violetta scores!
I was thinking it was a White Sox player.
It wasn't Babe Ruth. nicely going, V.
Thanks. That's probably the only baseball player I know. I have a question.
All right.
The Chicago, one of my favorite things about the Sox is the food at the stadium.
Yeah.
And obviously the drinks. But what is their official import beer?
Oh, God, I got to know this.
Ooh, I know this. Yep, you got it.
Go.
Modelo.
Yeah. Modelo.
So, Mike, I have...
What is the beer?
Modelo.
Modelo. Got it.
I have a brick from the original Comiskey Park in my rooms, and it's worn off now, but it was signed by Toots McCuddy.
Holy
cow. Does that mean anything to you?
That was the bar on 35th Street where legend has it Babe Ruth used to grab a beer between innings.
And Toots would sit on his lap.
I'm just off the top of my head remembering that. So that's McCuddy's. That's the famous Southside bar on 35th that if you know your Sox, you got to know. Why are we doing this? It's 128 on WGN Radio. I'm John Williams. Mike Poe's giving us some questions. Adam Hoag is on the stream at WGNRadio.com where he weekdays at this time does Sports Central. You're listening to Violetta and Bertrand. We're all sort of catching up here on White Sox knowledge because if you're just joining us, the White Sox and WGN Radio announced today that the Sox are back on GN Radio. Our first broadcast will be in February the 23rd, live from Arizona. We'll do one of those preseason games, one of those exhibition games. Okay, you give me one more question, then I'll lob one more question.
All right. Who is the last White Sox player to hit for 30 home runs and 100 RBIs in the same season?
Hoagie.
Hoagie.
He's trying to lob these up for you, John.
Oh, Lord. See, this is...
Yeah. It's Jose Abreu.
Abreu.
Who's currently on the team.
Well, I knew
he's
that.
He's hit for 100 RBIs and 25 home runs in each of the last four seasons.
So, Adam, if I'm going to know some Sox players, like I know Rizzo and Bryant, who do I have to know?
Well, a lot of them aren't even on the team yet, but the big ones are Jose Abreu, obviously. From last year, Avi Garcia was an all-star. It's still questionable whether or not he'll be with the team when they're ready to win. But Yoan Moncada is the big prospect that came up last year. So I think they're hoping he's one of the Chris Bryants, Anthony Rizzos. And then Eloy Jimenez, who came in the Jose Quintana trade from the Cubs last year. He's still in the minors, but he's coming up and going to be somebody you need to know. And then Michael Kopech is the pitcher you need to know.
He's the guy that throws 104 miles an hour?
Correct.
Literally, he throws like in the hundreds, right?
Yeah, that's his changeup, actually.
All right, if you want to listen to more sports talk like that, much better than this, listen to Adam Hoag. How do we find you right now, Adam?
We're on WGNradio.com, streaming until 2 o'clock.
Let's do this again, buddy. Thanks for chiming in and helping me out.
All right, thanks, John. It was fun.
That's Adam Hoag and Mike Poe. Hey, thank you, man.
Thank you.
I'll steal your questions and pepper.
All right, there is John Williams. That was fun.
Yeah, a little rocky at start, but
I honestly didn't know if it was going to work or not, so we worked through some technical things. But, you know, he said, can you come on my show today to do some White Sox trivia? And I said, well, I'm doing my own show. We should cross them over and make it work. And, you know, John, as you could hear clearly there, is not really up on the White Sox trivia, which is fine. And that's why he's doing this segment, because he wants to learn. So we did some education there. I feel good about it.
Yeah, we got to inform the oncoming fan base, because it's coming. Bandwagon is, we're ready to roll, baby.
Yeah. Let's play that Charlie Tilson interview. Kevin Powell is out in Arizona. We had him on the show yesterday from Mesa. Today, he's in Glendale. The White Sox are having their big report day today. I believe Rick Hahn was actually just speaking with the media. Kevin Powell will join us very shortly to tell us everything that Rick had to say. I'm sure it was about 20 minutes just on how happy he is to be on WGN Radio. And then maybe they talked about Eloy Jimenez a little bit. I mean, That's what I'm guessing. Charlie Tilson is a guy you should know about because they got him in the Zach Duke trade a couple years ago, which I'm almost surprised I remember which trade it was, with the Cardinals, and he was one of these guys that was supposed to be ready to play right away. I think he was in the Cardinals AAA at the time. They were going to promote him to the majors, and he got hurt right away, I think on his first game.
First game and in Detroit. Yeah. And it was a nasty one, too.
It was bad. Comes back last year, nagging injuries again, didn't really play a whole lot, but it's someone who's they're still excited about and want to see if can still be a part of the outfield.
Local guy, too.
Yeah. Where's he from again?
I'm not sure exactly. We'll bring that up in the back end of the show.
Absolutely. So Charlie Tilson, still a piece of this puzzle here for the White Sox, if he can stay healthy. Kevin Powell talked to him earlier today out in Glendale, Arizona.
Well, I'm stoked. It's great to be back with the guys. Obviously, been a long stretch for me, but couldn't be more excited for the opportunity.
Talk about those rough patches for you, a couple of devastating injuries. Are you back to full health now?
Yeah, I feel great. You know, it was great to have an opportunity to get out to the fall league and get back on the field, compete a little bit. You know, it's important after spending a year on the DL. But it was good too, going into the offseason, I'm able to kind of get a better idea what I need to work on and where I'm at. So I feel great, and you know, like I said, I'm really excited for the opportunity to get out there.
So you're back to 100% now, no nothing holding you back?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so when you are sidelined for a full year, I mean, what is it, rehabbing, watching film, what are you doing just to keep your mind right during that stretch?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately for me, I had a series of challenges along the way, so things kind of stayed interesting, but for me, it was just about continuing to work and you know, use my resources, and you know, if something's not working one way, how can we try it another way? So it was a long journey, but I'm thankful in the sense that, yeah, I feel like I learned a lot from it, and I feel like I'll be better equipped in the future.
I know nobody wants to say the word rebuild, but you guys clearly understand where you are as a franchise, a whole load of prospects you guys have. Can you feel that general excitement, even if it's, okay, maybe we're not contending for the World Series this year, but you can really feel that this team is ascending?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got incredible players. I've played against a few of them coming up, even with St. Louis, but just really excited for the opportunity to get on the same field as some of these guys. I've watched them all from afar, and it's going to be fun. You know, obviously we're very young, but very talented as well, so we'll get after it, and it should be a great year.
It seems to be a close-knit clubhouse already. Have you started to build relationships with some of these guys, and who are some of the players that you've kind of got to be tight with over the past couple years here?
Yeah, it's a great clubhouse. You know, I think that's one of the disappointing things about being injured is you kind of have to witness it from afar. Obviously, it's more fun being a part of it when you're diving, making a play for your teammates. So that's what I'm looking forward to most, is kind of showing my teammates and my coaches that, you know, worked hard for this opportunity and that I'm ready to go compete for them. So I do feel fortunate to be in this clubhouse, man. It's great, guys. I've gotten nothing but support, especially given what I've gone through in the last year. And, you know, that's something I couldn't be more thankful for.
So who are you closest with in the clubhouse? Who's your boy?
Oh, that's a good question. I got a few. You know, Matty D let me stay at his place last summer while I was down here grinding. And, you know, T.A. Saladino, they're a few of the first guys I met when I got traded over. So they've kept in contact. And, yeah, all good guys, man. It should be a great year.
You feel like you can compete for that starting center field job?
You know, I feel like I got a great tool set, and I've worked real hard coming in, and I'm just excited to showcase it. I mean, you know, the front office has the best idea, and our coaching staff has the best idea of how that will play out. But for me, it's just, you know, about embracing the opportunity and taking advantage of every day out here.
We've heard the slogan, "Ricky's boys don't quit." I'm sure you heard that plenty last year. The fight in this team, Ricky attributes it to the players. Some of the players attribute it to the way Rick handles the clubhouse. What would you say the makeup of this team is, and why is it that you guys don't give up? I know you weren't on the field for most of the part last year, but what is it about this clubhouse and this makeup?
I can see, I mean, guys work. It's just, guys come here to work, and it's a blue-collar atmosphere, and I think that's the most important thing. Obviously, you know, we have a ton of talent, and that's great, but the biggest thing that I could tell Ricky preached to us last spring was, you know, we got to get out here and work, and we got to take advantage of our time, and you know, it's a great environment.
All right, let's get to know Charlie Tilson outside baseball. What do you do for fun, for a hobby? You
got anything? Well, in the last year, it was just getting healthy was my hobby, but you know, I love being around the city. I love the city of Chicago, so I do some exploring around there for sure. Like to ride my bike down the lakefront trail, stuff like that, play a little golf here and there, but for the most part in the last year, it's just been about getting healthy, and it's a full-time job, and I feel fortunate that I get to do it.
I'm a golf junkie myself. Where are you playing these days back in Chicago?
Back in Chicago, I played at Harborside one time. It's a great spot, but I got beat up out there pretty bad. I'm not a stellar golfer, but that's good because I'm spending most of my time on the baseball field, you know.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it, man.
Harborside's not an easy course. Gotta be careful there. Good to hear from Charlie Tilson. Would be great to see him have a strong spring and compete for that starting center field job. Of course, Adam Engel, outstanding center fielder. I really thought Adam Engel defensively showed that he's top five defensive center fielders in the league, if not higher, but he's got to work on that batting average.
Yeah, and on base, and, you know, I think the biggest word is what you said, compete. You know, you need these guys to come in and compete. And obviously, the biggest thing for Tilson is to stay healthy, but if you can just get, you know, Larry Garcia and Avi Garcia, you know, Tilson, Engel, get these guys moving around, get them competing for jobs, it helps the culture of the clubhouse. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's Joe Romano. I'm Adam Hogue. This is Sports Central. We are celebrating a historic day at WGN Radio, announcing a multi-year agreement with the Chicago White Sox. The first game. How about this? The first game on WGN is next Friday. A spring training game on the 23rd, the spring training opener, as the White Sox, I think, take on the Dodgers that day. Usually they start against the Dodgers because they share the facility.
Either way, it's a win. It doesn't matter who they're playing.
Victory. They're going to go undefeated in spring training. But it'll be great to have that game here. By the way, some a tiny bit of breaking White Sox news, actually. How about this? Just got this email from the White Sox. The Chicago White Sox have agreed to terms on minor league contract and non-roster invitation to major league camp with left-handed pitcher Hector Santiago. Remember him? Santiago, he's now 30, was with Minnesota the last couple of years. The White Sox, of course, traded him to the Angels. I'm trying to think which trade that was. It was a three-team deal. Three-way. Was that the one that got Adam Eaton here?
Yes.
I think so.
Let me double check.
Yeah, we have to figure that. There was two trades that offseason that I always get mixed up. And we'll take a quick timeout, hoping to talk to Kevin Powell, who's out in Arizona. He was at the Rick Hahn press conference. And also, I did something this morning that I want to bring Jared Payton in to talk to. So, still got about 20 minutes left here on Sports Central. A lot to cram in. We'll take a quick break. Come right back.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
There it is.
It's Sports Central with Adam Hoge.
No big deal.
On demand and in real time on WGNRadio.com.
It is a love fest here on Valentine's Day on Sports Central. An exciting day as the White Sox have joined the WGN Radio family. Going to talk to Kevin Powell, who's out at Camelback Ranch here in a little bit. We just heard his interview with Charlie Tilson. Rick Hahn met with the media a little while ago, so want to hit up with Kevin the highlights from that press conference and just kind of see the state of the White Sox right now. I talked to Rick Hahn a couple weeks ago at Sox Fest, and the one thing that stood out to me that, it's not like it's in question, but the insistence of how much they love Rick Renteria and what he did with the players last year. And if you watch the games, the White Sox played some really good baseball despite the record. They didn't have the greatest roster at the major league level, but they played just a more attractive game, which was really encouraging. All right, so this morning, I stopped by TC Boost. And tomorrow, what TC Boost is it's a gym in Northbrook, and it's where Tommy Christian, former Northwestern player, now trains local kids for the NFL draft. A lot of those guys being Northwestern players, Justin Jackson, Tyler Lancaster, Godwin Igwebuke, among those guys this year. And I went over there. We shot some video. Those guys are going to be in studio with us here on Sports Central tomorrow. So we'll talk a little bit about the draft, the NFL Combine, and their preparation. It's really interesting stuff, actually. But I wanted to get out there and do it myself today, too. And I wanted to bring in a former running back, a guy we know really well here at WGN, Jared Payton, because he's been through all this. He's played in the NFL. Jared, you should have seen me this morning trying to do these drills that they work on.
It's hard, man. It's really, really hard. I think when you start to really kind of peel it back and you look at it, Hoke, for a guy who played, just sports all his life, and then next thing you know, you kind of strip all that stuff away that you're used to of, like, just being out there on the field and just working on combine stuff and stuff that you're going to get timed on and that you know that teams are looking at just to maybe if you can run a good 40 and get a shot. I mean, it's like one of those things like with the Olympics, you get kind of like one shot or it's maybe two shots, but that's really it to be able to make an impression. And it's a lot of hard work.
So I'll go into more specifics tomorrow when they're here in studio about kind of the process and the specific things they're working on. But the run rocket is the different names for it, but that's the one where they tie you up. You have like the waistband around you and you're actually pulling basically a sled behind you. And it creates resistance, and you're basically pulling a band. And they basically, they're working on the start for the 40 times. Anyway, I ran this next to Tyler Lancaster, and, 5 seconds, not even 5 seconds into it, like 3 seconds into it, he's 10 yards ahead of me already. And this is a big, beefy defensive lineman who, I think can play at the next level. Anyway, the second rep, they loosened my band and didn't tell me. So we're halfway down the thing, and I'm actually beating him. And I'm going, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I get done. I'm like, oh, they made that a lot easier for me.
Yeah, man, it is. It's difficult because I actually, when I was going into the combine, I was actually working out with Don Beebe. And so he has, everybody has their own different contraptions of what they use to be able to get your starts. And Don has something that he uses, which kind of looks like a steamroller, kind of, and it's like behind you, and there's a contraption that you wear as like a harness around your over your shoulders, and you pull it, and it has resistance on there for your start and really getting out low. And one of the hardest things, especially for guys that are taller, is being able to come out of your start really low and keeping your head down and not looking up. And you know, those first few steps, those guys probably told you, Hope, those first few steps are so critical and really cutting down your time. And it's almost like you're exploding out of the gate. And if you're not used to that, not being a track guy, like I ran track, but never, you know, in middle school when there was no blocks, you would just stand up there and try to beat the next person to the side of you. But when you start having to run in blocks and, you know, where your hand placement is and where your head is and coming out, it's a process. And over time, these guys are working so hard to be able to condition themselves where it's muscle memory. And once they get a chance to do it in front of, you know, all the teams and all the coaches and GMs that are watching, that's the time that they got to really be able to take what they learn and be able to perform.
All right. Well, JP, we're going to talk about a lot of this more tomorrow, but you're absolutely right, especially with some of that start time stuff, which I struggle with. Need to run to Kevin Powell, who's out in Arizona, because he's in between Rick Hahn and Rick Renteria right now. So sorry we got to cut this short, but thanks for jumping on, buddy.
Hey, I love you, man. Take care.
All right. Jared Payton over at WGN TV. Make sure you check out Sports Feed tonight on CLTV, 6 to 7 o'clock. From Jared Payton to Arizona, we bring in Kevin Powell, who just got done talking to Rick Renteria. And Kev, I'm assuming he spent the whole time talking about the new partnership with WGN.
It was actually with Rick Hahn, and I actually did end the interview with thoughts on the partnership, and he just he said, hey, it's good, but it's just kind of out of his, you know, I don't think Rick Hahn exactly dialed into who's carrying the games and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think he was in his mind. So I don't think he was in those negotiations. He's worried about player contracts, not radio contracts.
Yeah, exactly. And they did make one minor deal just minutes before he met with us, signing Hector Santiago, the lefty reliever, to a minor league contract. He'll join the team in camp here. I like it. It's a low cost, potentially high reward, maybe a guy that surprises you and can pitch out of the bullpen, maybe give you some worth there. But that's really just kind of a minor deal, a minor league contract for Hector Santiago. You may remember, pitched a couple years for the White Sox. He was an all-star in 2015 with the Angels. But yeah, that's the minor news out of camp today, a pitchers and catchers report. And yeah, so I'm extremely excited for the White Sox WGN partnership. Thrilled.
What were some of the other highlights from Rick Hahn today?
From Rick Hahn, just kind of glossing over the whole part of it, I thought it was kind of funny because we had asked him, you know, that there's some serious excitement out of the clubhouse right now from the players, and a lot of them are talking about winning and winning and winning. And Rick basically interrupted us with, like, nah, we're in rebuild mode. So he's got his sights set on, like, he gets it. You know, they are just, I think for White Sox fans, everyone's getting extremely excited and maybe, not to steal a phrase from the Cubs, but, you know, trusting the process that this is just 1 year into a rebuild. I just think that it feels longer than that because Hahn's acquired so much talent in such a short period of time. You know, it's only been a year and a half, I want to say, since the Chris Sale deal, which sparked everything, but it feels like it's kind of like, you know, maybe moving along a little bit quicker just because of the sheer amount of talent that Hahn has acquired. I mean, it's an absolutely stacked farm system, but I think everybody does have to be patient and realize that, you know, this is going to be a step-by-step process and probably one more year of struggles on the field, but you know, the individual growth is what the White Sox are looking for right now.
Well, the thing that people forget is that this should go faster than, just for comparison's sake, the Cubs' five-year plan, because the Cubs had nothing when they started. They had no assets whatsoever. Right. And the White Sox had incredible assets to get this thing off the ground with Chris Sale, Adam Eaton, and then Jose Quintana in the middle of last season. So they were able to add talent so much quicker that I can understand why there's like this excitement and this belief in the clubhouse that they're going to surprise. I think that's going to be one of the storylines this year, is just balancing that, because as more and more of these young guys come up, they're going to get excited. They're going to want to win. And not that I'm not talking about tanking or anything. I'm just saying, realistically, they're not going to win 90 games this season. And so you want to make sure that you're still managing, keeping things fun and light and loose and not getting down on the losses too much, which is, I think, why they love Rick Renteria so much.
Yeah, and I think there is a natural reaction to compare this thing to the Cubs. It's just, especially for us from Chicago, it's just going to be the way it is. But I agree that, you know, I mean, the Sox are probably going to be spending a record amount in terms of White Sox franchise history in the free agent market after this year. I think we can all anticipate that. White Sox should be competitive as soon as next year. I don't think Rick Hahn's going to try to elongate a rebuild. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to look at the roster and say, okay, can we be competitive here with a free agent signing here, a free agent signing there? So I don't think it's going to be this gradual, like, peak. It could be another down year, and then all of a sudden next year they're competing for the playoffs. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like we're looking for five wins here. I think it could be a couple key free agent signings and some growth from some of your prospects, and then boom, just like that, the White Sox could already be a competitive playoff team, and I think that could be as soon as next year, which would mean this rebuild has taken, what, 2-3 years compared to the Cubs, who took, I guess, kind of on a similar sideline scale, where it basically took them about 5 years to get a championship. So I think the White Sox are right there. Hahn's kind of told everyone, let's take a step back a little bit. This is still a rebuild. But you mentioned Rick Renteria, and I think the players really have bought into him. You can't really ask Rick Hahn, is Rick Renteria the guy of the future? But, for a while, people thought he would kind of be like what he was with the Cubs, maybe a stepping stone to make sure to nourish some of these younger guys. But I'm starting to get the sense that he is the manager of the future, that the players are really buying into him, that Rick Hahn and him have a really good relationship. But the players love Renteria.
Well, I love the style of baseball they played last year, even though they didn't win a ton of games. It was a more attractive.
Ricky's boys don't quit.
Yeah, they fought so hard in all of those games. I don't know. You can't criticize anything that Rick Renteria did really last year, except for the bunting, which I will not stop talking about. The bunting drives me crazy.
He did clarify that towards the end of the year, because he was asked about it, and he said the only reason he's doing it is, like, he understands the analytical part of it, where it's not good to do that. He said he just wants to teach the fundamental aspects of the game to some of the younger players, which I'm actually okay with. Yeah. I mean, there is some rare occasions where it works and things like that, but as long as he's not doing it thinking that it's actually helping the team, in terms of the scale of the game, that particular game, or, you know, benefiting the team. But, he did clarify it. I think anytime you see a White Sox player bunt, the White Sox Twitter absolutely blows up.
Well, and this is why it's going to sound a little hypocritical, because I actually believe, like, free throws, that everybody who plays basketball should be able to hit free throws. Everybody who plays baseball, to me, should be able to bunt. Like, it's just
fundamental part of the game.
Because here's why. I can do both of those things. And I've never come close to any of your professional level. But you put me at a free throw line, I will hit my free throws. And if you put me, and I realize that I probably wasn't facing 95-mile-an-hour fastballs back in the day. But you're at a higher level. You should be able to bunt against a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Well, I'll even throw, because you cover the Bears and you see a ton of football. The fact that professional football players can't recover fumbles.
Yeah.
That's how it kind of is for me. Because every time there's a fumble, it's a bunch of, like, and I get it, they're 6'4", they're 300 pounds, and the ball is super tiny compared to them, relative to how we see the football. But, oh my God, I see Pee Wee's football players recovering fumbles better than professional athletes. Yeah, probably something they don't practice that often anymore. But that's where I'm at in terms of your free throw and bunting comparison.
All right, Kev, thanks for jumping on. You still got Rick Renteria coming up, right?
We do, yeah, and then I'll be on with Roe. I believe Brooks Boyer will be on to talk a little bit about the radio partnership, and I'll have updates from Camelback all afternoon.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Have fun out there.
Thank you. Talk to you.
Kevin Powell, WGN Radio, out covering spring training for us down there. Okay, Want to get to some buried headlines. I do have some things that we got to get to from that standpoint. And I want to start with the Olympics. Before the White Sox news got announced today, I was actually going to lead the show with this. And I didn't think we'd be leading with the Olympics at all. But Joe, did you see Shaun White's run last night?
The last one? The final one?
Yes. First of all, Shaun White has elevated to... I mean, even if you don't care about the Olympics, you know who Shaun White is. You know, he's the Michael Phelps of snowboarding. All right, you know who Michael Phelps is, you know who Shaun White is. These are, over the last decade, the American heroes that come out of the Olympics, the guys that you know, right? So, he won gold in 2006, won gold in 2010, and then didn't make the podium in Sochi in 2014. So, this was a big deal to him. To get back, not only on the podium, but to win one more gold medal. And he came out with a good first run, and then got beat by the Japanese snowboarder in the second runs. But then the window was left open in the third, and Shaun White knew exactly what he had to do, went out there, and killed it, and won gold, and was unbelievably emotional. You could see how much it meant. And just watching that, that was so cool. Did you see how much it meant to him? Those are the Olympic moments that's why I think it kind of transcends sports a little bit, and why NBC pays as much money as they do and people tune in. They want to see those moments. And that was just really cool to see. But the biggest thing I wanted to bring up here, right before his run, NBC zoomed in on his face. And there must have been a minute of silence. I didn't time it. Maybe we should have. It felt like a minute. But it was the most incredible build-up. I mean, you want to talk about good television? I am a huge fan of play-by-play guys that let the moment breathe on television. But usually you don't see that before the moment. But the build-up to the run and the anxiety it created... Like, I almost thought I died in this minute that was just leading up to him actually starting to go down the hill on the half pipe. And I just loved it. It was, and then for him to deliver, I don't care who you were, the way NBC built it up with the silence into the run, you had to get excited about it. It was awesome.
And there's something about the stuff that is just so out of the ordinary, crazy good. You know, like, I've gone sledding a few times in my life. I've never even attempted to snowboard because of the fool that I would look like. The stuff that Shaun White can do, the flying tomato can do on a half pipe is just... It's incredible. It truly is incredible. And not that any of the other events at the Winter Olympics aren't, you know.
Right. But there's, look, we've been joking around about curling a lot the last few days. And I've not, like, not kidding that I've picked it up. If you check my Instagram Monday night, I was actually curling on Monday night. And I think the professionals that the Olympians that are the curlers would probably get insulted by the idea that, because everyone looks at curling and is like, I could do that. And let me tell you, it's harder than it looks.
Yep, 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 yep,
hard,
yep,
hard,
yep,
hard,
yep,
hard,
yep, 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 yep,
hard,
yep,
hard, hard, hard.
It's that hard.
She wasn't lying.
No. But I have to say, I think, and I'm going to get razzed for this. I think if I spent every day for the next 4 years, like quit WGN Radio, quit my job, and put everything towards curling, I think I would at least be able to make the qualifications for the Olympics and maybe have a shot at getting in.
Is it...
Snowboarding? No chance in hell. Speed skating? No chance. Figure skating? Absolutely no chance.
You know, wasn't there a Summer Olympics recently where they added something that wasn't very Olympic-like? Like...
I'm trying to think.
Was it like a badminton or table tennis or something like that? You know, like, really?
Wasn't there like a new handball?
Yeah, just
thing in the last Summer Olympics. It was like almost like dodgeball.
And again, you know, like if I went and got picked up a stone or dropped a hammer or whatever,
yeah,
did a little curling, I would get crushed right now. But if I put 4 years of my life into it, I might be able to become an Olympian.
Yeah, like, I don't belong with the guys I'm curling with. I'm not trying to say I'm good at it or anything, but it's physically, it's a sport that's designed really for, here's the cool thing about curling, to be honest, the males and females can be on an equal playing field. And I've been playing in these mixed leagues. It's awesome. I think that's really cool. There's maybe a slight, slight advantage for big, strong guys that could sweep harder. But it doesn't make that big of a difference.
I thought you were going to say the downtime between throws to, you know, go and get a beer. No?
Well, there is drinking involved. I'm not going to lie. Idea. And that's a great thing. A couple quick notes because we're running out of time here. I know we got to get out of here. Great Eddie O news. He said on NBC Sports Chicago last night that he will have his final chemo treatment Monday and is eyeing the Blackhawks West Coast trip that starts March 1st. He said he has it circled, quote, in permanent marker as his official return date to the broadcast booth. So outstanding news for Eddie Olczyk. Love that guy. So excited about it. And then following up on a different buried headline from a couple days ago, maybe even yesterday, but I mentioned the Christian Fourier incident in, at WEEI and a rash of problems they've had there. Unprecedented move. Suspending programming on Friday. The entire station is suspending programming Friday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for mandatory sensitivity training, according to Awful Announcing.
Whoa.
They're going recorded programming Friday and putting everyone through mandatory sensitivity training. And I love it. Good. Because they have a culture problem there. I said that the other day. It's a culture problem, and they need it fixed.
Yeah, and, you know, the news is spreading. I mean, the way I found out about that was on Twitter through a former NFL player, you know?
Yeah.
I've never heard of anything like that happen. That's you know, good for WEEI.
All right, we need to get out of here, but a fun show today. So excited about the White Sox joining WGN. We'll have plenty more in the coming days. And, of course, the first game is next Friday, February 23rd on WGN Radio. Anything we screw up today?
Just clarifying a few things. We were talking about that game, and it is indeed against the Dodgers. You had that right. Charlie Tilson went to New Trier High School.
Okay.
He is from Winnetka.
Nice.
And Hector Santiago was indeed in that trade that brought Adam Eaton here. Mark Trumbo also in that trade. He went from the Angels to the Diamondbacks, and a couple other names not quite as good. Tyler Skaggs and Brandon Jacobs, not the running back.
That would be funny if they threw him in. Yeah. Rick Hahn could probably pull that off. All right. And a sad note, I really want to mention it, but the sad shooting yesterday at the Thompson Center, Commander Paul Bauer losing his life, Chicago police officer leaving behind his wife and a 13-year-old daughter, lived in Bridgeport, was off duty, and as the hero that he obviously was, jumped in trying to apprehend somebody who was running from the cops, even though he was off duty, and unfortunately it ended up with him losing his life. So a sad story, and our thoughts and prayers here at Sports Central are out to the family of Commander Paul Bauer. Just a sad, sad thing that happened yesterday, but have a ton of respect for the work that our police force do and all of our first responders, and wanted to make sure to mention that before we got out of here. Back tomorrow, Tyler Lancaster in studio, Godwin Igwebuke, Tommy Christian, TC Boost family here. We will be talking to them about the NFL draft, the NFL combine, and some of the ridiculous training I did today, and I look so stupid doing it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.